Roger. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Holy smokes, Batman. It's Gaggle of Geeks with...
Blake Howard?
And Sophie Lai.
Good morning, Blake Howard of Graffiti with Punctuation.
Hello, Soph. Hello, geeks. What a freaking week we've had.
Oh, so much happening. So we've had a Wonder Woman pace spat, maybe, or maybe not. We don't know anymore. It's all up in the air. We've had a new Game of Thrones trailer drop. We've had some news about a potential Watchmen TV series. But the big one, Blake, the big one. What happened this week?
Well, the Han Solo original sort of origin film in the Star Wars universe seemed to be kicking along beautifully. Written by Lawrence Kasdan, who is obviously part of The Empire Strikes Back and about a million other amazing films, steering the film, and Chris Lord, Phil Miller and Chris Lord, the folks behind the Lego Movie and, you know, 21 Jump Street, are in the driver's seat. Great cast, Anson Elgort, the childish freaking Gambino himself, as Lando Calrissian. You know, it was looking great. And then this week, those two directors got fired from the gig. And by all accounts, it's one of those classic Hollywood things, which is due to creative differences, you know, directionally different things that they wanted out of the film. Star Wars, you know, the people of Star Wars, Lucasfilm, led by Kathy Kennedy, has said, no, we're going to go in a different direction. And so it's a really, it's an interesting one. And their replacement happened really quickly, was speculated on super quickly and happened really quickly. And the replacement is actually Ron Howard, like the immensely talented and enduring great filmic talent that is Ron Howard has kind of stepped in. But it's this weird, you've got weird feelings about it. It's not quite as egregious as what I feel is the worst one, which is the Edgar Wright being kicked off Ant-Man, which I think is like...
desecration.
I still think it's sinful. As sinful as a movie hiring and firing gets. But it leaves you in a kind of weird place because Ron Howard is an immensely versatile and talented director, and some great people, great tweeters, great, you know, voices in the of Star Wars repute that I sort of follow. You know, they talk about Ron Howard's, one of his last films was that amazing Beatles documentary 8 Days a Week, which came out last year, which, you know, they're like, he made an amazing film that I think was nominated for a stack of awards by compiling footage from other people. So maybe he is the best person to do this film. I don't know, Soph. What do you think? What are your initial thoughts? Because I'm a Star Wars geek through and through, but as I think I ranted about on our last gaggle about Star Wars, I'm only looking forward. I have not got any... I don't really care about its navel-gazing into the past with previous characters. I'm way more excited about what's happening in the series going forward.
Like, you were one of the, like, probably the only person I know that just had so many issues with Rogue One, and I'm like, it was a beautiful film. And you're like, I just had too many issues. No, future owner. And, like, this cast for me, it's just, like, just having Childish Gambino / Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian, it's like, this is a little too perfect. I can't wait to see it. And I don't mind a bit of navel-gazing because it's such a rich universe with such rich stories. I don't mind going back into the past and exploring that. But with this whole debacle that's just unfolded in a week and resolved within a week, it's been a bit, has this been ongoing for a while? And Ron Howard, hit and miss with me. Like, some things amazing, other things I'm like, oh yeah, that's all right. So I'm not sure which way he will take the film.
Yeah, look, Howard's a director that, you know, I think he's a director that I think probably could have been more renowned if he stuck in a lane, so to speak. Like, he's a very, like, but he's a guy who kind of wants to experience everything. He's very, like, extremely versatile. Whereas if you look at things like, you know, Frost Nixon and probably Apollo 13, he's absolutely stellar ones. Mm-hmm. But he's worked with Lucasfilm before. He did Willow for George Lucas years and years ago. We saw him do that. A Chris Lord and Phil Miller Han Solo film I'm way more excited for than a Ron Howard solo film, just because it's an older, more tried voice and a director we've seen many times before.
Yeah.
But, you know, the things that we started to hear about Rogue One is that Gareth Edwards, who actually directed the film, had a lot of assistance on reshoots and rewrites by a director who was kind of ghosted but was revealed through sources, named Dan Gilroy, who's directed, you know, he was a big part of the Bourne franchise, wrote a lot of that stuff as well as executive producing, has directed a couple of great films in his own right in things like Michael Clayton. So I don't know, like, they are ruthlessly protective of their brand, and mm-hmm. I think that, you know, Kathy Kennedy is already showing that they've got an uncompromising vision about what their brand is, and they're not afraid. They're not ever going to let a director compromise it. They'll fire people, they'll rewrite, they'll reshoot it to death, but they will not let someone mess with what their ultimate vision is. So, really interesting stuff.
Absolutely, and that's the thing about I love how they bring in fresh blood to a lot of new franchises. You need a bit of a boost, and now we're going with someone like Ron Howard. I'm like, oh, is there going to be new vision? Well, no,
it's huge news, though, because this was just coasting along. There was nothing but sunshine and smiles and funny photos coming online, and this week it's just engulfed the internet. So, you know, we've actually just now on Twitter, Howard is actually talking about it. He's at the Cannes Lions Awards. He's going to be back in the UK in a couple of weeks' time to sort of pick up and try and keep the film on schedule for a release next year. But he actually quoted to say, "I'm beyond grateful to add my voice to the Star Wars universe after being a fan since May 25th, 1977. I hope to honour the great work already done and help deliver on the promise of a Han Solo film." So, you know, he's directed Han Solo himself, Harrison Ford, before. He's worked with George Lucas before on Willow. Maybe he is the secret ingredient. I would really like to see some Arrested Development style narration in there, if I could, from Ron Howard. That would actually just make my heart soar even more.
That would be kind of amazing.
Arrested Development narration. I don't know. It's a weird mixed feeling, you know, that kind of promise of a Lord and Miller solo film and now a Ron Howard solo film.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see till next year when more tidbits leak out or until the film actually is released. Who knows if it still will be released?
Who cares? Let's go with Rian Johnson. That's what we want to see. Rian Johnson, The Last Jedi. That's what we want to see first.
And breathe. And breathe. And breathe. All right. Though, Blake, one of our favorite shows wrapped up this week. So exciting. American Gods.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, American Gods. We talked about the first half of the series that I kind of reviewed, and we've been holding off to sort of review the final four episodes as they've gone to air. They're all available right now, so get on that if you haven't already. Look, it's a tremendous series, and this second half of the series cements it as the extremely ambitious and crazy series that it is even more. You know, great sort of moral fables interwoven with this awesome versions of technology and myth and all of it clashing together. The performances are still outstanding. I think Gillian Anderson, for me, almost steals the show in the same way that Ian McShane steals the show.
Yeah.
She's playing media, the god of media. It continues on the path that it goes down. I think where I love the show is how it kind of is fleshing out characters. It's kind of telling, you know, sort of plots and subplots of tales that are mirroring one another in different time periods and having people narrate these stories about how gods came to America. And then the final episode is just, I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but the final episode, I saw someone tweet out and I'm going to totally, you know, take this as a gospel quote, which is the final episode of American Gods is Hannibal Good. It's the entire series really culminates so strong. And we've got hopefully a continuing series that's going to keep delivering as strong as it. It's just, I had such a great time with this show. Oh. And for me, it just got better and better. What about you, Soph?
Oh, amazing. And it's only such a tiny part of the book. Like, it's only like a fifth in of the book. But the finale didn't happen in the book, so no one knows what's going on. Oh, my God. Like, wow. It was, and as you mentioned, just the little side stories. I love that because they fleshed out so much more of a character that just kind of popped up here and there. And then just seeing her backstory made you understand her so much more. And it's just so good to see this. And my favorite bits are definitely the, you know, somewhere in America where they kind of delve into the deities past, how they got to America. It's so beautifully shot. Orlando Jones doing that speech on that boat. Oh my gosh. As a Nazi, Amazing.
it's also like, you know, the first part of the series, I think you're kind of just so overwhelmed by the way that it clashes with myth. But as the series sort of solidifies, it really becomes like a political and sort of cultural document, like mm-hmm. of all this melting pot of America and all these cultures sort of smashing together. And that weird conflict between, you know, the cultureless America where you're the individual and it doesn't matter where you come from, or it shouldn't matter where you come from, and then that sort of racial undertones and those sorts of things that are going through the entire show. I think that's, for me, is where it starts to be so amazing and starts to kind of hit those strides of, you know, the original seasons of True Blood, which are massive political allegories for what's happening. So it's a really, you know, it's a really dense show and a really dense book that it just keeps rewarding. So I'm stoked at how strong it was, and I think there's just so much more to offer.
Oh, well, season two was renewed back in May, which is awesome, especially for a Brian Fuller show, because you never know.
You never know. It's like, if you don't renew this by now, it may never appear on TV again. That's pretty much the Brian Fuller, like, you are rolling your dice with your commitment to a Brian Fuller show. You really are.
Right, but it's already, like, won heaps of awards, like, nominated. It's going really well. Oh, bring on season two next year, though. Ugh.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, I think Stars and Amazon are the companies, excuse me, that are behind it.
Yeah.
And so, unlike a sort of NBC and some of those big cable shows, they love this pedigree show and they're backing it to the hilt. Like, it is one of their flagship shows. So I don't think it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Absolutely not. They have to finish this damn story. They've started. They can't stop halfway through. Nuh-uh-uh.
I'm just a little show called Hannibal. one of my favorite shows of all time, Deadwood. they just cut it off. So, no, sometimes they don't care, which is really hard. But, yeah, we'll just cry and imagine.
Yeah. But, Blake, thanks for gaggling out with us on Gaggle of Geeks.
See you, dude. Great show. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.